Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you here this morning. Several announcements as we begin. If you open your bulletin, you'll see I even have a little insert with some announcements on there. First of all, just a reminder that coming October 1st, we will begin again our month of mission. We've been doing this the last several years. One of the things that we do for the month of mission is being mission-minded and collecting items, canned goods, food goods, hygiene products that we will deliver up to Valley Mission. We'll also receive monetary donations as well, if you would like to give that. Maybe you don't have time to get in and shop to bring items, but you want to just give a donation that would go directly to Valley Mission. The only thing I would ask is if you put that check into the offering plate, just be sure to make out on the memo line that money will be going to Valley Shelter. And we're going to be collecting those items, that money, all month in October, the coming month. The items that you purchase can be set up here, kind of right here at this, right in front of the Oregon area. We should at some point have a list that will be placed out on the bulletin. I don't know, Janet, we probably don't have that yet, do we? Okay, it's there. If you are not exactly sure what to purchase for Valley Mission, Janet does have a list there posted on the bulletin as you come in the door. And so you can just look and maybe take note of some of those things, mental notes, and pick. If you're in the grocery store, just pick a few things up. They certainly need the help. I think they have around 100 people that they are serving. I'm not exactly sure how many are staying there, but I know that there's about 100 people that will be sharing in the meal that we will prepare as well in the at the end of October, November 4th to take to Valley Mission. And of course, last year the youth helped out with that, and they did such a good job. And so we want them to be involved again with that. And I know the youth leaders will be talking to them about that. It's just good to get the whole church involved, isn't it? That's what the month of mission is about, to be mission-minded. You know, if there's other ways as well that you can think of to serve others, to help others, I encourage you to do that. Really dedicate yourself in October to putting your mind to serving others, even as Jesus served us. Okay, just a few other things there. Fall Bible study will begin as well. I hope you participate in that, although I would like to get a list of those who are planning on attending. That way I can get the books ordered for the Bible study guides ordered and make sure that you have one. This year we'll be looking at the book of Philippians. And we'll be using Max Lucado's Life Lesson Series. It starts at 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and we'll meet right there in the fellowship hall. Had good attendance last year, and we had good study. So I hope that you put that on your calendar and make that a priority on Sunday afternoons. Also, the Fall Festival is still being put together. There is a list, I believe, sign-up sheet on the kitchen door of things that maybe are still in need. If there's if everything's been taken and you still would like to help, I know that you can talk to Kenny or Sherry, and they can help you out on maybe some other items that might be needed. They've taken monetary donations as well to help pay for some of the supplies that have already been bought. So if you would like to help out with that, all the proceeds from the youth, it's the harvest day rather, will go towards the youth ministry here at Moscow. So I hope that you can support that and participate in that. And we'll be serving food here that Saturday starting at 11 to 1. You can come and get some hamburgers and hot dogs and homemade fries, and there'll be cakes and cookies available as well for purchase, I think. Also, there's homemade apple butter that will be for sale. The kids will be making homemade apple butter that day. It's going to be a great day, so I hope the kids can come as well as the adults alike and be part of that. Also, just a note about baptism and membership. The classes will be starting here Sunday, October 15th, and the baptism will be here October 29th. So if you have been considering becoming a member or moving your membership, please talk to me. Make sure that I can get your name and get it written down so that I can plan on you either coming to the classes or making the arrangements for your membership to be move or transfer to Moscow. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share? Kenny?
Hamburger buns and hot dog buns for the festival. And we are intending to have 20 pounds of hamburger.
Okay.
And then we're starting off with 50 hot dogs. So that gives you an idea of the numbers that we're looking for on the hamburger buns and hot dog buns. They were a delayed addition to the list that was on the door. And I was asked here before service that if we could get apple butter now. And anybody who's interested in apple butter, yes.
Okay.
You don't have to wait till Saturday. You're more than welcome to get it today.
Yeah, there's apple butter available, and you can purchase it now. It's in the fellowship hall. It's $7 for a pint. And Lee has made us some wonderful stickers to even tell you what year, so you can keep track of what year it is. It's canned, so it stayed good for a while. But yeah, you're welcome. Just see Kenny after service. And
we need somebody to tell us what it tastes like.
And only come back and tell us if it's good. Yeah.
If they don't come back, we know
what they're doing. Yeah. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Kenny. Anyone else? With that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, we are gathered here as your church, your people. Lord, we've come to worship you, your Son Jesus, and just sing our praises to him. Lord, upon the cruel cross, Lord, he suffered and died so that we might have life. Lord, we thank you that your Son Jesus was willing to die for us. Lord, we love him because he was willing to die for us. Thank you, Lord, that he carries and carries the burden of our sin, Lord, so that we might be free to live and to live according to his word, your word, Lord, and Lord, to live freely to serve you. Lord, we just praise you here this morning. We just worship you. We worship your name. We praise you, Lord. We praise your Son Jesus here together. Bless us, I pray, as this in this time together, this hour we spend in worshiping you, Lord. Might your Holy Spirit move in our midst, and Lord, just transform us into those sons and daughters of God that you call us to be. Lord, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. Find this in the inside of your bulletin. This coming from portions of 1 Timothy chapter 6. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let's turn in our hymnals to page 510. Jesus is all the world to me, page 510. Isn't that a beautiful hymn? I like the verse there. Says he brings the rain and the sunshine there. I can't see. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. And certainly that fits for our time of year right now, doesn't it? The harvest and of course, the wonderful rain that we received yesterday was so nice. And we had been praying for that, and now the sunshine. So the sunshine, the rain, the harvest certainly speaks to our situation here. I want to take just a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests, our prayer concerns that we have, few that I will put upon your list. If you would continue to be in prayer for Nancy Harlow, remember Nancy last week, Monday, she had a knee replacement and she is home recovering from that. She is doing well and we praise the Lord for that. Surgery went good. In fact, she was home that same day of the surgery. That evening, she was home. Had the surgery in the morning, really mid-morning, I think, and was back at her home resting that evening. So, wow, just amazing. And she seems to be doing really well. She had a little bit of pain, but praise God, that has went away and is doing really good. So we just praise the Lord for that. Kim, I know she's here. She praises the Lord for that. And you know, these surgeries that we, at least I felt, were once complicated, they seem to be just very routine now. And boy, Nancy's doing so well with it, so we just praise the Lord for that. But we continue to pray for her healing, and Charlie as well, as he's looking after Nancy. I know he's taking good care of her, so we just praise the Lord for that. And if you want to send her a card or a call, I'm sure she would appreciate that. But she knows you're praying for her, and she certainly appreciates that. Also, Donald shared with me that Francis got home yesterday and is doing some better. And so we just praise the Lord for that. We know that she is glad to be home, and she has received good therapy and help to get her back home. She was at Bridgewater there for a week or so, and so she's glad to be home, though, and we just praise the Lord for that. She's not able to be here yet, but we look forward to the day when her legs are strong enough she can come back and be here with us. So, Donna, we continue to pray for you, too. We know that you're caring for her well, and we just praise the Lord that prayers are being answered there. Joanne shared with me yesterday, we'd been praying for her brother, Donnie Lambert, and she's not here today. We want to continue to be praying for Donnie, for the family, and that God would just give Donnie peace and Joanne peace and the family peace as they look forward to Donnie's new life that God is going to provide for him. And as Joanne has shared with me, she has been seeking the scriptures and just being that, getting that reaffirmation of the promises made to him. And so we just pray he continues to look to those things to give him strength. And we know that he's receiving good care. So we just praise the Lord for that. Glad that Joanne can be there with her brother today. So also, if you would continue to pray for my dad, Dana. Unfortunately, he was put back in the hospital Sunday afternoon into Monday. And he's been there all week. He had some issues with his blood doesn't clot so well. And so where they did the procedure to fix his heart, he had some internal bleeding again. And he's had to receive 4 units of blood since he's been there. And he is just trying to recover from that. So if you would continue to pray for my dad, Dana, and my mother, Debbie, as they continue fighting this battle of Dana's health. So we know that God's going to give him the victory. That's what our faith says, and we keep believing in that. Just keep praying that God will give him strength to keep fighting to get well. And so I just appreciate your prayers with that. Other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? No, I've... Yeah, okay.
Well, it's his brother Sam.
Yes.
He's at the Bridgewater home.
Yes.
He had to take him off his medicine for Parkinson's. Yesterday he fell twice.
Okay.
He just shakes so bad.
Yeah.
And then Linda, she broke her foot.
Okay.
So Sam's got Linda in a wheelchair, Sam at the Bridgewater
home.
So the whole family.
Yeah, if you would keep Sam and Linda Lamb in your prayers. Pauline has shared Linda has broken her foot, and of course Sam is He suffers from Parkinson's disease. He is at Bridgewater. They had to change some medicines, and he's having some effects from that. So if you would, just keep Sam, Linda, and Dan in your prayers as Dan tries to provide care as he can there. Thank you, Pauline. I didn't realize all that was happening there. Other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? It was a blessing for that rain, wasn't it? Aren't we glad for that? We needed that so much. What a praise that is. I have a praise. Yesterday, we attended some of us here attended the CBC meeting at Antioch Church. There was eight of us that were there. Two arrived after the bus got there. And so there was eight in total from Moscow. And we had a good gathering there. I think there was six churches represented at that meeting. Each had, a table or so of people there. I would say there was probably around 50 to 60 in attendance, I would guess. Okay, boy, was my estimation off. Don't get me to estimate anything. It was 96. That's what I was thinking. I just said 56. It was 96 there, and it was really a good thing. They shared a slideshow with work that the denomination is doing in Africa. I'm telling you, the faith in Africa is exploding, and CBC Church is right on the forefront of evangelizing and planting churches. I think they're, and I shouldn't estimate how many churches after I just failed that. There's a lot of churches coming up in Africa, and it's just amazing to see. I think every week, it's like every week I hear of another church that's been planted in Africa. There's a brother, Samson, that is there in Africa. I would tell you his whole name, but the part I can pronounce is Samson. And he is like a modern-day Paul. He is traveling and planting churches just like you couldn't imagine. And this guy is just amazing. And there's another fellow as well that works with him in Africa, and he's planting churches in the Congo. These are places where me and you can't go. But he is there, able to plant these churches. We were shared about some funds that have been raised to pour a cement floor in one of the buildings that these churches have. They're just meeting in dirt floor buildings, and the churches are growing, and it's just amazing to see that happen. Guatemala is another place that CBC has its ministry now. They're planting churches there. In fact, there was a youth trip that went this year to Guatemala, and they're looking to go again next year. So if there's some senior high youth that would like to go to Guatemala and be a part of that ministry, you can do so. There's a little cost to it, but I'm sure we could find ways to raise money if children here wanted to go to Guatemala to work. I was told there's a lot of walking that you're going to be doing and a lot of work, but that it was a good experience. I think they had 16 youth go last year. And so God is working through CBC. That's what we all heard that was there. And we were just excited that we're able to be a part of it, joined together with churches that are going forth in Jesus' name. Another work that CBC is doing, very much a part of, is work with Samaritan's Purse. They're very involved with Samaritan's Purse. They're doing all sorts of disaster relief with Samaritan's Purse. In fact, the representative to CBC was one of the first on the ground with Samaritan's Purse in Hawaii when the fire burnt through that area. And he was sharing with us that he was in a hazmat suit, and they were sifting through people's possessions trying to find anything that they could turn into insurance to help them out. and they were working there with Samaritan's Purse and setting up tents and shelters and getting supply lines to that area. He showed pictures of the Hawaii area, and it's just complete devastation. A city of, I think he said, 13,000 people, just completely gone. All their homes, all the businesses, everything gone. It's hard to even imagine. It doesn't even look like a city. And so the work is being done there. There's opportunities for us as well. I want to try to streamline some of this Samaritan's Purse opportunities. I constantly am getting emails about opportunities to serve. Fred shared this morning that really all you need to do is once you sign up for these events, if you get yourself there and back, and a lot of times it's in neighboring states here, most of the disaster work, you get yourself there and back, but while you're there, Samaritan's Purse has a place for you to stay, and the food and all that is taken care of. Your expense would really be just getting there and back. And I would imagine, too, there's ways in which we could help people out who would like to participate in that. I'm sure we could find help with that. If you want to know more, just talk to me. I wish I could share more. I wish I had more time to share. But we are blessed to be a part of a group of churches that is going forth in Jesus' name. That was one thing that was even shared with us, that sometimes in prior disaster work, we weren't able to, at times, share the gospel. It felt like we weren't able to include Bibles in disaster kits, for instance. Whereas Samaritan's Purse goes forward first with the name of Jesus. And they also offer help, but they are going forth first with the gospel. And isn't that what people need most? Now, you can repair homes and you can fix homes that are washed away, but really what they need most is the help that comes through Jesus. And so we're glad that we're working with Samaritan's Purse. Pauline? That's right. Samaritan's Purse is directly connected to BGE, which is the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, BGEA. And they do great work. Franklin Graham is kind of the chair of that right now. And he's done really great work with that. So there was some pictures there with CBC representative standing with Franklin Graham and other leaders. Fred Shank knows probably more than I do. Yeah, he's got a lot of information as well about our work. Fred serves on the CBC board as treasurer, and he gets a lot of inside track information that even I don't get. So if you have questions, you can always talk to Fred Shank as well, and he's got a lot of information to share with you as well about just how God is blessing CBC and how it's growing. We're over 100 churches now in our region, or in the denomination. Our region is growing, so there's just good things happening. We see God's hand moving, and we praise the Lord for that. With that, I'm going to call forth... Oh, Billy, I'm sorry.
I have a praise.
Yes. Take your time, Billy. Oh, praise the Lord, Brian, you're okay. We thank the Lord for that. Know the Lord's hand was watching over you. And we just praise the Lord that you're fine. Pray that Baylor can be replaced at some point, but that's a small thing compared to your brother's life, and we just praise the Lord that he is okay. You guys don't need to suffer any more loss anytime soon, so we just praise the Lord that God protected you. So thank you, Billy, for sharing that. Anyone else? Let's call on our ushers now to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Let's share the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the answered prayers that we receive. Lord, we testify of these answered prayers this morning. We know, Lord, that in our time of need, we can come to You, and that, Lord, You heal us. Lord, You help us. Lord, You pick us up when we've fallen down. Lord, You dust us off, and You put us back on our way. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we continue marching forward each and every day towards that promised land, Lord. And Lord, we do it not by ourselves, but Lord, by You walking by our side. Lord, thank You that You care for us, even in our most dangerous moment, Lord, even when we feel our life is in danger, Lord, we know that You are there and that Your Holy Spirit is watching over us. Lord, we pray for those upon our prayer list this morning. Pray that You would intercede as only You can. Lord, we pray for our offering this morning. Lord, that You would continue to bless those who give. Lord, that You would receive these offerings, Lord, as a sign of their faithful desire to worship and, Lord, to love You even through their giving. Lord, might You continue to bless those who give. Lord, might You continue to use these resources to continue Your work, to shine forth Your light. Lord, we don't want Your light hid under a bushel. And Lord, as we give here this morning, we're letting Your light shine. And Lord, we just praise You with that. Lord, we pray now as well that You continue to bless us as we hear Your word. Lord, sow Your word into our hearts that it might protect us against the enemy, against the flesh, Lord, against the world. And Lord, that we might know Your word and obey Your word. Bless us, I pray, in these ways. Father, we praise You and we praise Your Son Jesus, and we pray all these things in His blessed name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church can now be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 30. Familiar story here of the rich young ruler told by Jesus. And we turn here because we are continuing on through the series, What Did Jesus Say About? And this Sunday is the topic of money. Boy, you don't hear me preach very often about money. I preach very little about money, to tell you the truth. And one reason I think I preach very little about money is because so many ministers have taken advantage of what the Scriptures say about money. And they have preached rather for self-gain than for God's glory. And that to me is an issue. And I know that it has caused many to confuse what God says about money. And so I hope that we'll have a better idea even as we go through this about what the true intent of God's desire when it comes to money in our life. Years ago, there was a movie that came out, a Western. I don't know how many of you like Western movies, especially old ones. But this was directed by Sergio Leone. And it starred Clint Eastwood. It starred Lee Van Cleef, if anybody remembers him, and Eli Wallach. And maybe you already know the movie I'm talking about if you're a Western fan. But it was titled The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. We kind of all know that movie, don't we? At least the title to that movie, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly. Remember, the movie was kind of built around these three guys that was after some Confederate gold that was stashed away. And they were all three of them are kind of out to get this gold for themselves. And so the movie unfolds around that. And there's some pretty iconic moments in the movie. I would imagine I played you some of the music from the movie, even if you've never seen the movie, you would know the music, because it's one of those movies that is just remembered for many different things. But all this movie just unfolds around two bags, saddlebags full of Confederate gold. And you see the good, the bad, and the ugly in this movie. And that reminded me, really, when it comes to money, I think, that there are those three types of ways in which we deal with money. There's the good, and then there's the bad, and then there is the absolute ugly. And there is some real ugly that has happened throughout, continues to happen in the world today because of money and the greed of money and the love of money. You know, the Bible does not say, I think one of the most misquoted pieces of Scripture is right here in 1 Timothy that you read. And that someone will often say, well, don't you know that money is the root of all evil? Now, that's a misquote. That's a misquote. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all kinds of evil. Notice it says all kinds of evil. There's just all sorts of bad things. But it doesn't say that money is the root of all kinds of evil, but what? The love of money. The love of money. And that's talking about a heart issue, isn't it? Where does love come from? Love comes from your heart, doesn't it? And so out of the heart can come good things. Love, if you love right sort of things, it's a good, right? If I love my wife, that's a great thing. But if I love money, that's a bad thing. And so out of the heart can come good and bad things. And so here that we find in 1 Timothy there, I wanted to include that in our call to worship so that you could see that, read that. Keep that call to worship. That's a good one, especially if you struggle with the importance of money in your life. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil in itself, but the love of money certainly causes good people to go bad. So what did Jesus have to say about money? Well, I think we'll see here, and I'll try to move along here, but we'll see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there is good for money, even within the ministry, within the life of the believer. Even as you brought forth your offerings and tithes and laid that there before the Lord this morning, that is a good thing. But there is some awful, ugly things as well that comes along with it. So let's read our story now. You're kind of holding us back from seeing what Jesus has to say here about money. And of course, it comes with this rich young ruler that comes up to Jesus and really has a question here for Jesus. And we'll see here as we dig into this how Jesus deals with this young fella, this rich young ruler, about money in his life. It says here in verse 18, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. But when he had heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who have heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in the present time and in the age to come eternal life. You know, I believe when it comes to money, there is a whole other side of ugly that I think we could never imagine. Here is a level of ugly that would keep a man or a person from entering the kingdom of God. That's pretty ugly there, isn't it, as well? Yeah, that's about 2 weeks ago now. We went down and Deborah wanted me to go to this movie down here in the Sipe Center that was titled The Sound of Freedom. I don't know how many of you got to watch that movie yet, but I would encourage each of you to find that movie. It was the last week it was showing down there, and we caught it on the last day. But it really can blow your mind on what's happening in the world today, even right around us, right here in America, that there is such a thing as sex slavery. And the movie goes into depths of a man, a true story, this movie is a true story, a man that he's a cop and his job was to catch predators. And for years he caught predators that were preying on children, but he decided that he wanted to not just catch the predator, but he wanted to free these young children that were caught in a sex slave industry. And so he traveled to Mexico, where much of this was being done. And it follows this story of, I would guess, about a 5-year-old boy and maybe about an 8-year-old girl that was taken in sex slavery. It blows your mind to think that these things are happening in the world today, and it brings you to tears at points in this movie just to know that this is happening on a grand scale in our world today. It made me come to two thoughts. Now, first of all, what would lead a person to want to do that, this sexual immorality that can be in a person's heart? But then the second question I really ask myself, it's not only those that are the buyers of this sort of thing, but who is the one that is selling that sort of thing? That there is a whole sex slave industry that is taking place in our world today, and there is a lot of money in it. One of the comments was made that drugs can be made and sold once, but young children can be sold 3 times a day for 15, 16 years. And so you can see the profit in what they're doing. It brings chills to you. We don't even like to talk about it, do we? It's very uncomfortable for me even to talk about it here at church. And that's why it stays hidden. That's why it stays below the surface. That's why no one talks about it. Do you know what country is the number one destination for sex industry? You're living in it, folks. It's not some third world country. It's not Mexico. It's right here. You are living in it. And it's right below the surface. And sometimes we like to kind of keep ourselves clean from it, as if it doesn't exist. It's, I think, at times too dirty to even to wrap our minds around. At the end of the movie, it gave some statistics. I didn't have time to write them down, but I searched the internet to find out what these statistics were, because it just blowed your mind. It says, in 1 year, more than 500,000 children go missing in the U.S. alone. More than 50% of them are victims of sex industry, and they are in the ages between 12 to 15. These children are being exploited online through pictures and videos and are being sold online. Over 80% of child sex crimes begin on social media. As of 2021, there are 252,000 websites containing images or videos of children being sexually abused. 252,000. Human trafficking is a $150 billion a year business and worldwide enterprise. Let me tell you, the love of money can be quite ugly, can't it? You think there's two people in that scenario, not just the sexually immoral, but you've got somebody that loves money so much that they would be willing to exploit little children to gain a dollar. That's the ugly side of money. That's how ugly the love of money can be. The good, the bad, and the ugly. With this rich man, Jesus pointed out the ugly of love, the ugliness of the love of money in one's life. If a person loves money, it would lead a person down a wrong path to the point of doing the things that I just talked about, and even worse, it could lead a person to not receiving Christ at all, not being able to receive the riches of God because of a person's love for money more than the things of God. And that's what Jesus points out to this man here, that him being rich was not the problem. It's not the problem that the man's rich. Jesus doesn't say that he has a problem with being rich. He has a problem with he loves his riches more than he loves God. And so he gives the man a kind of a truth-revealing desire, that is, to get rid of all your riches then. Really prove then that you don't love riches. You know, all these things he says I have done, but Jesus knows the one thing that he still has in his heart, and that is his love for riches. And he says to him, go ahead and get rid of all those things. Then you'll know. Then you'll prove that you have forsaked all and followed me. But of course, what's the Bible say? He went away sorrowful, doesn't it? Because he loved his riches more than he loved God. You know, the man comes with a question of really very similar to what much of society, even ancient history, has shown, which is that this man felt as if he had it all. He had it all but one thing, right? He didn't have the guarantee of eternal life. That's what he comes wanting. Jesus, how must I have eternal life? I have everything. Think, everything on the man's wish list he had. He had acquired it all. He had enough money to buy it all. But what's the one thing that he couldn't buy? He couldn't buy eternal life. And so he comes. He's coming with a purchase mentality. What must I do, Jesus? What do I need to give you in exchange for you guaranteeing me that I have eternal life? I want to purchase it. If you think about ancient history, much of their guarantee into the eternal life was done through purchasing. I think of the Egyptian pyramids. Inside, they were filled with articles of gold. Why gold? Don't you think there's some transaction they're hoping will take place? They would carry into the afterlife spears and weapons and chariots. Some were gilded with gold, lots of gold. They were trying to purchase their way into heaven. All ancient civilizations, if you looked at it, in some way, were trying to do as this man was asking, which is to purchase themselves a place in eternity. They want to guarantee themselves eternal life. The Mesopotamians did the same thing. They buried their dead with items that might be used in the afterlife. The Aztecs down in Mexico, they would offer human sacrifice to make payment to the gods that their loved one might enter into heaven. Human sacrifice. The Celts, remember, they built Stonehenge. That was kind of like a nautical sort of alignment with the stars to get their loved one to the right place. Even Native Americans would build tribute altars for the dead, leaving food and jewelry and tools and weapons that they would place there to ensure a good afterlife. And here this man is wanting to purchase what he could not buy. And Jesus is pointing that out, that you cannot purchase your eternal life. Eternal life is not for purchase. You know, heaven is not a possession that we buy. Heaven's not a possession that you buy. It's a reward that you receive. It's a reward. And Jesus says it's a reward that you receive for forsaking all and following me. He is the way to heaven, that you can't purchase your way into heaven. This man, like many others, heaven was just a possession. And Jesus sets this record straight. I tell you what to do, Jesus says. Take all that you have. Really, the very opposite of what the man's thinking. I can purchase my way. Jesus is saying, no. It's not through purchasing it. It's through selling all that you have. Very opposite of what the man was thinking. It's not through purchasing it. It's through giving, through laying it down. This is the bad, I think, the ugly of riches that we see here. The bad, the ugly. Now the good. I want to leave you with the good. What is the good of money? Well, there is good that comes through money. And there's good that we can do with money. And I want to give you just a list here quickly because we're running out of time. The good of money. First of all, we can help the poor with money. And even here in the scripture, what does Jesus say? Take all that you have, sell, and give to the poor. So there is good that can be done with riches. And we can help those that are in need, those that struggle, those around us that are in need. And this is what Jesus suggests to this man. Matthew 5:42, Jesus said, give to the one who begs from you. Do not refuse to the one who would borrow from you. There's lots of places throughout the scripture where we're encouraged to help those around us. Help the widows in the church is one command. Help those that are in need and to remember them and to make sure that they are taken care of. So we can help the poor. That's a good thing, the good of money. Another good, we can support the ministry, can't we? There's a scripture in Matthew 10:41. And I won't have you turn there, but maybe write that down. You should see it for yourself. But it says there in Matthew 10:41, anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, anyone who receives a prophet who is a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now, why is it important for you to support the ministry? Because you, in turn, receive the rewards of the ministry. You are laying up eternal treasures when you support the ministry and the minister. Really, the word there is prophet. That's the man that God had called to do the work of God. When you support the ministry, you are receiving the rewards of the ministry. Even the rewards of the work done on behalf of the minister. Think of that. Those that supported the work of Billy Graham and the work that he did are now receiving in heaven, those that have passed on, are now receiving the same reward as Billy himself. How do you like that? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? There are those in heaven that are receiving the same reward as Billy himself. Those souls that were saved, they themselves have taken part and have received the same reward as Billy in heaven. That's powerful. That's powerful. That when you are supporting the ministry, when you are supporting those that whom He's called into the ministry, the prophet, the preacher, that you yourself are receiving then the reward even of their ministry. It's treasure laid up for you there in heaven. With money, we not only help the poor, we not only help the ministry, but we prove our hearts in worship as we give our tithes. Remember the poor widow who came forth and gave her two mites? She gave more than the rest because she gave what? Sacrificially. As we sacrificially give, we prove our heart's worship and our dedication to God. Do you give? The question should be, do you give sacrificially? Sacrificially. That means, do you give to where it hurts? The woman gave that it hurt. And he said she gave more than all the others. Many have asked me, how much should I give? Well, Old Testament rule says 10%, but the New Testament says God loves a cheerful giver. And so I think those are two good places to start. With money, we can prove stewardship, can't we? By avoiding waste, we can prove our stewardship with what God has entrusted us. Remember the parable of the talents? Gave to one talent, one two and one five, I think, or something like that. And the one went and buried his talent. He wasn't a good steward, was he? God wants us to be good stewards. Remember after the feeding of the 5,000, what did Jesus say? Pick up all the scraps and distribute it to the poor. No waste. If we are responsible with what God has given us, we prove our stewardship and God desires that. Lastly, with money, we can meet the needs of ourselves and our family. We need money, don't we, to live? It's just the way it is. You have to buy bread. What did Jesus pray? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And so, even there, the prayer for daily bread. We have to have money to provide for ourselves, for our family. And so this too is good as we provide for ourselves and for our families. We can bless God. You know, I think the bottom line with money, I'll leave you with this scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. This is what it says. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. Trust in God, not in money. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this message this morning. It's one difficult even for us to hear and for me to preach at times. Lord, because there's been such abuse in the church, in Your church, Your national church, Your world church, by tele-evangelists, by those that would preach for profit for their love of money. Lord, there have been so many that have abused the good of money for the ugliness of money. and with the ugliness of money, the love of money. Lord, we just pray now that we hear your words. We see even how you desire for us to bless you, even through our giving, through our stewardship, through our contentment, Lord. Lord, make our hearts content if we desire money more than you. Lord, allow us to lay down our riches, to not trust in those things, but Lord, to trust completely and totally in you. Lord, I know that's what you desire. And Lord, we just pray you help us in that endeavor. Lord, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we'll gather in our closing hymn now. And if I find a bulletin. Okay, page 513. Oh, how he loves you and me. Page 513. And maybe we'll just sing through one verse of this.
Only two verses.
It's only two verses?
Yeah.
Yeah. I keep doing that, don't I? All right, let's stand together and sing. Yeah, we'll sing. Let me look at it. We'll sing both. It's okay. Page 513. You keep that hymn playing in your heart all week. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you gave us the greatest gift of all. Lord, it was one that can't be purchased with money, but one that can be received with our hearts if we are just willing to accept it. And that's the gift of your Son Jesus and his payment for sin upon the cross. Lord, thank you so much for that free gift. It's the greatest treasure of all. Lord, what would a person give in exchange for their soul? Lord, we praise you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Bless us as we go. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.